Jacques Fresh was a 27-year-old man when he was caught by police and placed in jail for murder after a botched robbery attempt. An altercation with the police left one officer dead and blood on his hands. Growing up in a turbulent household, his father was demanding, abusive, violent, atheistic bank director, and his mother was very timid. But worst of all, neither both of them truly loved or respected each other. There was little to no moral guidance in his upbringing, and his early life was spent wandering from job to job and relationship to relationship. Yet in the darkness, both physical and spiritual, of solitary confinement in La Santé prison in Paris, Jacques encountered glimmers of light. A priest chaplain, an old classmate of his who also later became a priest, and his lawyer, a deep and faithful Catholic. Who knew they existed? Just kidding. I don't want to get any lawyers in here. But one of my close friends is a lawyer, so I think I can say that. But these three men, right, would relentlessly pursue Jacques, believe in his potential to become somebody besides his past actions, and work towards his conversion. And after 8 months, his cold indifference, as well as his hostile feelings towards God, would give way to a profound sense of sorrow for his crime. After reading the lives of the saints and deepening his prayer life in prison, Jacques would begin writing in his journal, and he said, "Do not ask God to save such and such a person or help this person or that. Rather, ask God to help you love that person that you find so offensive, and that his will be done." You see, Jacques saw that the key to conversion is love. And in loving a person, God helps us to strip away our prejudices, to see the potential that lies beneath, so that God's will ultimately be done in a soul. After experiencing his own conversion in prison, Jacques sought to bring his wife, daughter, and mother to the faith as well. And so, writing specifically to his mother, he said, "May your love draw down upon you the mercy of the Lord, and may he let you see that within your soul a saint is sleeping. I shall ask God to make you so open and supple that you will be able to understand and do what God wants you to do. You are called to holiness, like me, like everyone. Don't forget it." A couple of years in jail, Jacques received devastating news. His mother died, and then shortly after, he was told that rather than receiving a life sentence in prison, he would instead be sentenced to death. Reconciling with his loved ones, he wrote in his journal, "We can have no hope of peace and salvation apart from Christ crucified." And then hours right before he was led to the guillotine, his last words written in his journal were, "In 5 hours, I shall look upon the face of Jesus." The cause for Jacques Fresh to become a saint is now open in the church. A murderer is now in the process of becoming a saint. You see, God is not a God of the past. Because human beings, what we do is we often look at the past, right, and define ourselves by it. God instead looks at the potential of what is possible. The prophet Isaiah says in the first reading, "Thus says the Lord, remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. But see, I am doing something new." God is doing something new. But we often try to stifle out what God is doing by looking and defining ourselves by the past, that we fail to recognize what God is accomplishing in the present. So often we get caught up in trying to save people, not realizing that it's not within our power to save anyone. Rather, Jacques reminds us that it is God who saves, and our duty is to love and to ask that God's will be done. And God's will is that no one should perish, but that all might have eternal life. The scribes and Pharisees who brought the woman in caught in adultery in today's gospel could not see beyond her past. They could not see the potential, the sleeping saint, as Jacques put it, that lies beneath every soul. They were so caught up in trying to trap Jesus and to have him choose between so-called following the law or showing mercy that they forgot that the true purpose of the law and commandments is to shape us and to form us in holiness and ultimately to bring us closer to God. So often I think we fall into the trap of the Pharisees and the scribes because we don't use the law as a means to bring other people closer to him, but to judge them and think, well, at least I'm not as bad as that person. How many times judgments on people may pass our minds only to find out later that what we were thinking about them wasn't even true, or that we were projecting worse intentions and motivations on them instead? How easy it may be to pass off the drunk beggar on the street, Islamic extremist terrorists, the abortionists, or the unruly politicians on TV. Do we stop to think that despite the sin that is on display, that prayer and Christ-like love could bring about conversion? That sainthood is even possible for them? Or do we, like the Pharisees, take satisfaction in knowing that we are quote-unquote better than them? If there are any history buffs here, you might know the Battle of Peleliu during World War II. And it was a significant battle by which the Japanese had convinced many of the inhabitants that if they fell to the oncoming U.S. forces, they would be subject to rape, torture, and murder. And U.S. forces watched in horror as hundreds of women and children jumped or were thrown to their deaths from what became known as the suicide cliffs. Loudspeakers were even set up across the ravine so that interpreters could try to stop the madness. But the lie had already taken hold in their hearts. It was too late and souls were lost. The lie that has taken hold in our times is that there is no third way. It is either that we are so far gone in our sin that we are unredeemable, or that we do not need conversion, we're too far gone and that we're unredeemable, or that we need conversion, or we do not need conversion, sorry, I'm messing everybody up. We do not need conversion because Jesus will never condemn us so that we can continue doing whatever. But if we buy into these lies instead of hearing the loudspeakers of truth, we too will be lost. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you, but he also says, go and from now on sin no more. Jesus uses the law and the recognition of the woman's sin to show that he believes in her no matter when no one else would, to show her that it is possible, despite her past, for her to go and sin no more. Jesus restores her dignity, her self-esteem, and the broken relationship between him and her. And he does that by telling her the truth in love. God's love and merciful forgiveness is never meant to degrade us. On the contrary, it lifts us up and assures us that we are supremely loved, even when we think we are unlovable. God reveals the potential sleeping saint that lies below the surface of each one of us, so that when we approach Jesus humbly, confessing our sins in the light of day, we may be reminded of our call to holiness, that sainthood is indeed possible, and be encouraged by his words in the gospel today. Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more.